So let's just take a moment just to meditate, just be quiet and center ourselves for just a minute. Take our chance to arrive here. We all got busy lives, lots going on. Let's give ourselves permission to let go of our projects for the next couple hours. Just let your bodies relax. Let your mind come home to your body. Let's take, like we always do, let's just take a moment to reflect on our motivation, why we're here. What actually brings us here? I think we spoke briefly last week about the three excellences that we always start our meditation by reflecting on our motivation and rousing an aspiration that our time practicing together benefit both ourselves and all other beings. Can chant the four dharmas of Gampopa. Does anyone need a book? Welcome. Is anyone new tonight? Has anyone here not been to any of the classes we've done? This is the fourth class on Kelan Rinpoche's Relaxed Mind. Is anyone here for the first time? Good. So we've done the first three meditations from the book. The first... Can anyone remember the names? Anyone want to brave that? I think Paul wants to try that.
Not in order. Shamatha?
That's number two.
Extra Shamatha? That's number three. Insight?
Tonight we're going to do insight. All right, so the first meditation we... What's that?
Yeah, just being embodied.
The first was just being embodied, mm-hmm. called Basic Sitting Meditation. Mm-hmm. Very inspiring name. And the second is shamatha, calls it, I think, peaceful abiding.
Mm-hmm.
And the third is...
slightly uncomplicated.
Extra credit.
Refined basic sitting meditation. But then it has kind of a tagline, which I think speaks to the meditation arriving at clarity. So for the first meditation, we are joining body, speech, and mind, but particularly body and mind. And we talked about, there's a famous saying, not that famous, but a saying I love is kind of a mantra for mind during the day, which is bring mind to home. And we join our mind with our body. We kind of become a whole being. And the second meditation is the peaceful abiding. The focus is on learning to focus in a relaxed, open way. And the form, as you remember, is kind of what most people associate when you say the word meditation. If there's an object to meditation and we watch our breath or we place our focus on a statue or something like that. And then the third meditation was arriving at clarity, where it's really just we went deeper and started to also let that feeling of peace and calmness that arises in meditation become the object of meditation itself, particularly from the first meditation. Do people have any questions? Today we're going to do the fourth meditation, which is insight meditation or Vipassana, and in particular way of teaching it. But before we do that, do people have any questions since the last class or about your practice in the last week, or about this approach altogether, that would be helpful?
Elise? Two points. Not so much a question as a comment that I'm doing some other meditation
right.
program I'm in,
uh-huh.
and I just find the basic approach really helpful, because I have the tendency, when I move from the too loose, I move to the wicked too tight. And kind of this gives me a way to have loose that's not too loose.
Wonderful. Yeah.
It's really helpful.
No, I think that I really feel like this book's as much about the approach and the view of meditation as anything. Mm-hmm. Are people doing these meditations? I'm curious, because I think kind of what you say, Elise, not that you need my permission, but I think it's, you know, a good way to do it too. But I'm curious, are people doing the meditations?
I'm trying to let it influence what I usually do a little
right.
bit, you know, and just have that kind of before, as I rest, set in to my session, just kind of bring it up a little bit and see if, you know, just thinking about what we've, you know, what's in the book, how that affects what I'm about to do.
Gotcha.
Not too much focus. Oh, I gotta do it this way. Or just, you know, it affects my what I've been doing all along.
Kathleen?
Yes.
I'm trying to learn people's names.
I think it's made me more aware of starting the meditation, thinking about why.
Oh, good.
And that's been helpful. To think about that.
Yeah. Muffy.
One change I've made is using a different object for meditation as opposed to not just my breath.
Okay.
And taking photographical painting of a Buddha.
Nice. Welcome.
I tried smell last week.
Wow. There's
a lot going on.
That's kind of cool.
I think it's helping me to think about how to be in the everyday world, too.
Yeah, well, that's the whole idea.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Think about that.
It's good to bring it into your I think that's a big threshold to cross when you start to do that. We talk about that all the time, but it's so easy to forget.
For quite a while, I've used some word mantras in my meditation, and they've always been calm on the out-breath and open on the in-breath. And that just seems to really fit into what's, you know, it seemed very reinforced by what they're talking about, the calmness and the relaxation. And it just, wow, I've been thinking about that and trying to relax myself for a while.
Good. So today we're going to learn the fourth meditation. Is called Insight Meditation. It's Vipassana. I believe it said that this is the meditation, one of the meditations the Buddha taught. And Kelan Rinpoche's approach, it's widely taught, particularly, say, in the Insight Meditation Center and some of the schools that kind of for people who are trained in Burma and aka Myanmar and Thailand. And Kelan Rinpoche's approach, I'd say, is, as best I understand it, because I didn't grow up in that community, is sort of true to the spirit, but less sort of, in typical style, is less systematic and detailed, instead of like going through all the sense perceptions and what's called the ayatanas one at a time. It's a more broad, kind of relaxed approach to it. And the idea with this meditation is it's a pretty profound meditation, actually, and we start to adopt kind of more of a 360 view of everything. That, you know, we've been, you know, started in the body, and then we have an object of meditation, and then we're starting to relate to some of the energetic quality that kind of relaxing brings up. But here we start to open ourselves to kind of all phenomena. And we allow, and that we find, you know, there's this view is, it's unblocked, without corners. And there, we open ourselves to the vastness and the openness of our experience. And he says something, I don't know if any of you, there's a, I don't think I've mentioned this before, but Shapala Publications is a wonderful set of online classes, if you're interested in this. They recorded with Kelan Rinpoche, and they're really well structured. And but, you know, he says in this meditation, there's really the possibility of actual liberation. Which, coming from him, is a pretty strong statement. I mean, you know, he means liberation with a capital L. And so, with this meditation, we open ourselves to all phenomena, and we allow ourselves to allow things really simply to arrive and what we would call self-liberate all by themselves. We stop trying to control them. And the term Vipassana, you know, and the idea here is in the process, as we start to see things in kind of this sort of broad sort of 360 view, that we start to develop what's traditionally called wisdom, which means seeing things as they actually are. Start to see what is the actual nature of reality, what is the nature of phenomena, what is the essential nature of our own mind. And we do that in a non-conceptual way in the practice of meditation itself. And we do it not in a... And of course, we can, supposed to say, you know, we'll talk a little tonight, you know, you can study these things, you know, this hearing, contemplating, and meditating, and we study them and we reflect on them, but the practice itself is actually taking kind of a first-hand look at them and what's actually going on with our mind, with our body, and our relation to phenomena around us. Which has everything to do with how we move through life and how we live. The I think I used this metaphor last week, but I probably used it one meditation too soon, which was sometimes you think about with the other meditations, if we're kind of a shepherd with a flock, we're watching the sheep. We're trying to sort of keep them close by and in the field, and we're keeping count of them. And in this meditation, we kind of just let the sheep go. And then we trust they'll be fine and we'll be fine. And we start to kind of take a look at, now I'm probably way off the deep end of this metaphor, but, you know, we start to take a look kind of, what's the essential nature of these sheep? And what's wooliness? And the way we do this, the practice itself is we simply be present. There's some notion that usually we're kind of thinking what's coming down the pike or ruminating about what's gone on. And in this case, we're kind of, there's a certain trust that whatever experience is unwinding with us is sufficient in and of itself and perfect just the way it is. And we let it be, and we're willing to rest and be present in just that. And that includes everything, you know, whether we're feeling anxious or calm or thoughts, you know, we're going to consciously start to let thoughts into our meditation here or sensations that we can let them just arise on themselves and come and pass. And we're just present with them. And we're definitely not trying to get somewhere else or turn them into anything. And the act of letting them be is what allows the insight to emerge. And, a while back I was getting ready. I taught this meditation class. Actually, I don't know if people know who Alex Honnold is, the guy who climbed El Capitan.
Oh, that's his name.
And I know we have two students here really like Death Defying activities. Well, he kind of did the ultimate, and I got invited to teach a meditation. He was teaching a class for entrepreneurs, and I knew one of the people organizing it. And so I was really kind of, I was both excited and nervous about it. And so I decided I better go. My shrine room, my meditation room, is on my third floor, and I have this kind of steep stairs, and there's this twist to get up to it. And so I said, I got to go meditate so I could be calm and present and like do my thing at this Alex Honnold program. And I got my cup of tea, which I love my tea, and I'm going up the stairs. And wouldn't you know it, I trip and I spill the tea on the stairs, on my nice white carpet to boot. And so there's a certain irony on that, I suspect. You know, here I am. I got to get upstairs so I can be calm and present and, you know, in the moment and, you know, I'm focused on everything other than like walking up the stairs and my tea goes flying. So rushing around trying to get calm is not the same as meditation. Well, don't do what I did. I kind of like that story personally because I also feel like the world was sending, you know, in that moment, kind of clears your mind. It's like, here I am in a rush and I got to go and my tea's stained in the carpet, so I need to deal with that. You know, I need to go get a bunch of towels and clean it up so it doesn't stain. And so, I feel like the world was kind of in its own way sending me a pretty clear message, like, you know. Stop. And so with this practice of just letting things arise, being present, letting down some of the barriers, and also letting down some of the seeing separating yourself and phenomena, starting to see that as more connected. And I know you've got class. I think one of the things I really like about this group, I know you've had some classes, and people studying emptiness a little bit.
Mm-hmm. We did the Heart Sutra.
Yeah,
the Heart
Attack
Sutra.
The Heart Attack. This is associated with those teachings. That we kind of just, and so that includes we already, because we've learned to come into our body, you know, and not fighting that part of it, and not trying to seek liberation outside of ourselves, and we let our bodies, and you could think of yourself, this meditation, we're whole people, we kind of let our body, speech, and mind, and phenomena just all be one big happy family, is the idea. So you can, it's often helpful with this practice to start with, you know, so it's pretty open, you know, to do that, you need to be somewhat stable and grounded because it's easy to kind of space out with meditation like this. So it's often helpful. I want to suggest maybe we'll start with some shamatha practice just to help ground us and bring us presence. We can even start maybe with a minute of the basic sitting meditation of being in our body, and then we'll kind of open it up to here and again, just let the thoughts come up and pass. And maybe this, well, it doesn't go without saying, the idea is as thoughts come up, we're not trying to grasp onto anything. Just try to do your best to let them arise and trust that they will liberate all by themselves. So any question about the practice? Yeah.
Also feelings like pain or itch or pain or something.
You let them all come up. Well, you don't. The good news is you don't even have to let them. They come up all by themselves. But you're not attaching, because like if it starts to become insufferable, you're probably kind of holding on to it.
Yeah.
And so, kind of same instructions from the previous meditation. You're always invited to take a break and refresh your meditation at any point, you know, if you feel like you're struggling with it. You know, I don't know, there's a guy in Keelan Rupshay's community I like, he's kind of like me, he's very geeky, you know, so it's kind of like there's a decision tree. You know, try to relax with that if you find yourself. And if you can't relax with that feeling of struggling with it, then refresh and take a break. So just to, you know, there's some sort of very basic notion of kindness to yourself and accepting kind of what's available to you and what's possible for you on Thursday night, let's say the 27th of June in the evening, kind of what's available there. So that, any other questions about the practice? Oh, I'm sorry. I thought I'd turn my phone on. That's interesting. I apologize. That was my brother. Say, why's my phone? I have my family I let ring through. You had a question back there?
Yes. Is there an idea of an object with this particular meditation?
The object is you're resting on, you know, in your body, with body, speech, and mind connected, you're just present and you're letting go of the separation of you and external phenomena and letting thoughts come up and letting go of the separation with people in the room. But you're not losing yourself in the process. That's one reason the first meditation is so important. You know, it's kind of easy to zone out. And if that gets to be too, like I said, if that gets to be too heady or something, then you can always like do some shamatha or do some basic meditation in the body. So we're going to start again with, and everyone I think at this point has done Om Ahum. So we'll chant Om Ahum. Om, remember, is our body, relax. And we could go a little, if you people have done, ever done, because I know a lot of people have done a lot of practice here, you could visualize even a white light in your crown of your head. The ahs in your throat center. You could imagine a red light in your throat center. You know, it's the chakra is actually kind of right here. And a home is in your heart center. And it's associated with the blue light. And it's our body, our speech, and our mind. Relaxing our body, relaxing our speech, and really balancing them together. In mind, and again, mind here is really bodhicitta. It's big mind, not conceptual mind. And if that's all too complicated, then kind of, well, you could do this too, is kind of just, it's just fun to sing and enjoy the vibrations. Okay. I'm going to ring the bell once. All the tension in your body and just let all your muscles relax. Take your posture. And bring mind to home. Let's start by doing a little bit of shamatha practice. Whatever form you want, but I'll just speak to the breath. Just bring your attention to the overall felt sense of the body breathing. Don't focus too tightly. Focused in a relaxed way. Now could be a good time to transition from shamatha to vipassana meditation. First, drop all the tensions between your mind, phenomena, self, and others. Let your self be free of all these things. feel the experience of your inner energy without bias, the true nature of your own mind. This is empty essence, the vastness, the luminosity. You can feel it all without judgment. If you feel any tension, you can relax further. There's no separation between meditation or meditator. It's all in your experience. let the energy flow naturally in a relaxed way. Don't follow the thought patterns or try to box the mind in any way. when you let your mind be calm and clear, that's it. Right there, there's luminosity. Just take a short breath, a short break, but stay silent. Just for a minute, stretch out. Even if your meditation's going really well, it's often helpful to break it. Be free. You don't need to follow the thought patterns. There's no reason to separate yourself from phenomena. You can feel the essential sameness of everything. In order to feel our inner energy, we don't engage. There's no reason to expect the mind to be thoughtless. The energy of the heart is naturally present as we relax, experience things as they are. feel the nature of your own mind with its self-existing clarity. Self-existing compassion. Self-knowing awareness. close the meditation by taking a couple of deep breaths. Make an aspiration that this meditation benefit ourselves and all beings in this, throughout the world. Here in Waltham.